But I'm not at home anymore in this old world. And I've been thinking, you know, I preached last week on heaven, but you can't really do it justice in one sermon. So I'm asking this week you'll just endure one more sermon on heaven, okay? And since that reminded us all, everybody check your phone, make sure they're off, unless you're a doctor or a policeman. Go ahead. And but look here, we're pilgrims. We're pilgrims. And I want to talk to you for just a little bit about heaven today. Look at Philippians chapter 3, if you will. And we'll start with verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now go to verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven. Now, in Old English, conversation didn't just mean what you said. It meant your life, your lifestyle. For our life is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Let's pray for the sermon, if you will. Philippians chapter 3 is talking about some people who are not citizens on earth anymore. Our conversation, our life, is in heaven, hidden in Christ. Now that's us. Anyone has been born again by the grace of God, accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, is now on their way to heaven. Now, as we're on our way to heaven, we press toward that mark of the high calling of God. God equips us to live the Christian life. We can't do it without Him. But sometimes in our Christian life, we just stop. We forget that we're headed there, that we're not even really in God's mind here anymore. He says in Ephesians, we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we're here for His glory. Not ours. We're not here to accumulate great wealth or great knowledge or greatness itself. You know, we're here as He prepares us for heaven. A lot of people enter heaven unprepared. They die unprepared. Even though they're saved, they've not been pressing toward that mark of the high calling of God. They've just been living, just occupying time mostly. But even the weakest believer wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Now don't listen to people say they don't believe in heaven. They're lying. Even unbelievers, in the end, hope there's a heaven. That's right. I mean, that's why their country songs sing about it. That's why their rock songs sing about it. Even atheists make up a heaven. They might call it Nirvana, or other worlds, or another sphere, or another something, you know. But they're making up a heaven. Everybody wants to live forever and go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody. I don't care what they say. They don't want to go to hell. They don't really mean that. You can take the meanest man in town, throw cancer on him, tell him he's got a week to live, and he'll praise God if a preacher walks in that room to pray with him before he dies, hoping that he can slip in right there at the end.
Amen. Come on, man. Yeah.
The old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. Amen. They're all praying. A lot of profession Christians, those that profess as Christians, not knowing the truth, make up a heaven that suits them. You ever notice that?
Yes.
Christians that don't know anything about the Bible, but they've been saved, they've trusted Christ, but they don't read the scriptures, they don't study to show themselves approved. They make up stuff about heaven.
Yes.
You can take your dog with you to heaven. You can take your cat. Or your pet horse. We're going to float around on clouds and play harps in heaven. And everybody gets a puffy cloud. Well, even though they're believers, they're biblically ignorant. They know that's not so. But they want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. And then when you come to planet Earth, now this is my introduction. This is not my sermon, so hang on, okay? On planet Earth, we need three homes. We need to look forward to three places in our life. Everybody needs it. I mean, from the best saint to the worst drug addict. Everybody needs and wants three places that in the end they can go. Everybody, whether they'll admit it or not, everybody wants a family home where they can go and they can feel safe and they can feel accepted and they can feel comforted. Everybody wants that. Amen? Everybody wants an earthly home where their haven of rest here on planet Earth. Everybody wants that. Physical rest. Y'all know what I'm talking about. My wife took me on a hiking trip up through, I don't know, Caesar's Head and all that stuff up there. And we went on this trail that never ends. But it finally did end. It was just 2 miles, but it felt like 200 to my feet. But we saw this sign said go this way. It was, 69 miles to, I said, my wife said, no, there's supposed to be a decimal right there. I said, there ain't no decimal right there. That's 69 miles. I said, if 2 miles kills me, what's 69 gonna do? But everybody wants a place they can go on planet Earth where they feel comfortable and safe and secure and loved. Amen?
Amen.
And then everybody, I don't care who they are, even if they claim to be unbelievers, Brother Ron, when it comes to weddings and funerals and catastrophes and emergencies, even unbelievers want a Christian home.
Amen.
Yep. I'm talking about a church. Now, I know your home ought to be a Christian home, but I'm talking about everybody needs and wants a church home. They might tell you they don't, but who do they call when trouble comes? They call your church home and ask for your church to help. And they want that place, same reasons. We want to have a place we can go to on Sundays as a haven of rest. We can run there and be protected and comforted from this old wicked, sorry, low-down world that hates our guts. We want a church home where we can go and people love us and they say hello and don't do it right now, but they want to hug you.
Amen, yeah.
People come to this church, they say, it's the friendliest church I've ever been in. Even with coronavirus, we're still the friendliest church I've ever been in. But everybody wants that. Deep down inside, everybody wants a church home to where they've got a pastor, they've got people that will encourage them and bless them, where they can learn the Bible and where they can feel loved and they can be fed by the Word of God. Everybody wants that.
Amen.
Amen. But then everybody wants an eternal heavenly home too. Everybody wants an eternal heavenly home where they can be loved and they can spend an eternal blissful condition with their heavenly Father. We're not citizens of this earth. And we need to stop looking at this earth to satisfy us or to make us feel good or to make us... By the way, when you were lost and going to hell, it didn't do a good job at it. Why do you think it would do it now? Just because you're saved, you think they're going to like you better? Well, I got news for you. It's going to be just worse.
Yeah.
They hated him, they'll hate you. And God, right now, He's equipping us for heaven. He's preparing us for when we get to heaven. We're pressing toward that mark. And 2 Corinthians 5:11, don't turn there, but it says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade others. Because we believe in heaven and we know heaven's a wonderful place according to the Word of God. We believe that so much that we'll risk losing friendship, family, or fortune or anything else that we might share it with others because we know all this is temporary. This is not our real home. We're just passing through. And I worry about Christians that don't share it. Do they really believe that heaven's better than this? They must not. man told me this one time. He said, Brother Ron, you're so heavenly minded, you know earthly good. And I looked at him and I said, you're so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. I want to go to heaven because I'm just going to give you a couple reasons why I want to go to heaven. Now I know I'm going to heaven, but here's the because. And the world looks at me and you and they want to say, well, why do you want to do all this? Why do you want to believe on that man called Christ? Why do you want to believe of the impossibility of a bodily resurrection of a man and put your eternal destiny on him and follow him and sacrifice and give up and lose friends and lose family and lose jobs and lose positions and not go after things this world, try to live a humble life on your way to heaven? Why would you do that? Why do you want to go to heaven? Well, number one, Jesus says it's real.
Amen.
Jesus said, Matthew 5:12, if you want to turn over there with me, Matthew 5:12, Jesus is speaking. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And he was talking about being persecuted. He said, when they persecute you, remember the prophets, how they were persecuted, and rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Yes. And every week that I go by and nobody's persecuted me or made fun of me or mocked me or put me down because of my faith, I say, I ain't right with God.
Come on now, yeah.
I mean, they ought to, hey look, they ought to know that heaven is my hope. It's my hope. Jesus coming back to get me, to take me to heaven, is my blessed hope.
Amen.
It's my blessed hope. The Apostle Paul said, if we of all men, listen, if in this Christ only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. If this world is all there is to it, and we sacrifice and we serve and we try to live godly in this present evil world, and there is no heaven, then we are miserable people. And that's why a lot of Christians are miserable. They don't understand that there's a heaven and there's a finish line that we're looking for, and we're going to cross that thing one day. Heaven's my haven. Heaven's my haven. We used to sing the haven of rest, and I don't think it's in our song book. Look it up and see if it is. If it ain't, we need to put it in there. But the haven of rest, we used to sing that. Heaven is my haven of rest. It's a place of refuge that I can get rest in this old place. Heaven is a sanctuary. It's a place that's sanctified by God himself, that we might go and live forever and love him and fellowship with him and worship him in heaven. Amen? Job 14:1 says, he said, this life is full of misery and trouble and pain. Let me read it to you, 14:1. He said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. This old world is full of trouble. And by the way the world operates, selfishness, self-centeredness, deceitfulness, we can expect a lot of trouble and a lot of suffering in this world. I don't care if you're a saint or a sinner. If you live in this world, you're going to suffer because of sin in this present world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now that suffering's made worse whenever we think of how bad it is. Think about it. And it seems like we've got a generation of people growing up know nothing about the past. Think about Hitler's Germany. When people called Jews couldn't even eat or sleep, and they couldn't own nothing, and then they took them and skinned them alive and made lampshades out of their skin. Burned them in the furnace. Experimented, did scientific and medical experiences on them. And the church said nothing. Think of the ugliness of this world. Think about Imperial Japan when the Emperor of Japan said, I'm supposed to be ruling the whole world. And he doesn't care who he kills or how he kills them. And then current historians or current people believe that we did the wrong thing to bomb Japan. And he'd already made, he said, I won't give up and we won't give up. And you can come in here. If you come in my country, we're going to kill 200 million of you. And he let all those poor people get incinerated because of his sinfulness and his selfishness. It wasn't our fault. Think about that. Think about this, and most people don't even know this stuff. Think about the Soviet communists and the Chinese communists, and when they first came to power, they killed 50 million of their own people. And I got news for these politicians, these so-called educators and professors and stuff. If the communists take over, that's the first people they killed.
Amen, yeah.
Yes.
They didn't kill the poor, ignorant citizens. They killed the educated and the powerful. And how can we look at this world and say, this is a wonderful place to live? There's nowhere better. You've been sitting on Myrtle Beach drinking too many canned beverages. You've been at a restaurant drinking too much of that red stuff they keep pouring in your glass. You crippled too high for crutches. Blind as a bat. This is a nasty, filthy, ungodly world. And I'm looking forward to heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You say, preacher, you say you don't want to live a long time. I want to live as long as God will let me.
Yeah.
If he'll let me live as long as my mama, 99 and a half, I'll try to glorify him and love him and share him with others while he's doing that. But if he decides to take me home today, I'm going to say, amen, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. This life's full of trouble, full of pain and suffering. The suffering's caused by sin. Think about the millions of young people who have been sacrificed on the altar of convenience in this country. Think about the 9/11. Where one man could sit in a hut somewhere and orchestrate 4 or 5 other men to kill between 2,000 and 3,000 people all in the same day at the same time. And then all those countries have parades and parties when it happens. You tell me this world's a good place.
Right.
Think about how we end up submitting to disease. Every one of us. We're all going to die sooner or later. Every one of us. And sooner or later, we're going to get sick. And I don't care who you are. Very seldom do you find anybody that crosses to the other side that didn't get sick on the other way. On their way. Think about the onset of age, not AIDS. Age.
Amen.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to live a long time, but it's painful too.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I wish you'd seen me trying to climb that trail up that mountain. My wife way up yonder. Way up yonder. I'm back here just... Are we there yet? I wanted to see a sign that said finished. It went on and on and on and on and on and on. It reminded me of that song. This is the song that never ends. I started singing. This is the trail that never ends. Someone started it long ago, not knowing what they were doing, you know. Age. I'll go home today and I'll have to nurse my feet for about 2 or 3 hours a day. Thank God I got feet to nurse.
Yes.
But hey, if you think this world's kind to you and you're going to live forever, wait around.
Yeah. Right.
If you live long enough, you'll find this world is not the best place for you to live.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We suffer, and not only that, but we suffer the heartache of other people that die ahead of us. And we try to be strong and say, well, they're in a better place and thank God they're in heaven and this is wonderful, but it still hurts and it's suffering to watch people go to the other side and we have to stay here. When we think about that song, will the circle be unbroken? I'm sitting there here singing Beulah Land. I'm sitting there praising God. I'm thinking of people that I know on the other side.
Thank you.
Yes. And right, and by the way, it still hurts.
Yes, it does.
The only way it's going to stop hurting is I get over there too.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
But thank God there's a place. Revelations 21. Revelations 21. Look at verse 3. Revelations 21, verse 3. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them.
Yes,
and we just park it right there. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And then verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thank God heaven's free from trouble.
Amen. Yeah.
Heaven's free from trouble. You're not going to go this week without trouble.
Right.
Unless somebody else is paying your bills and taking care of you. Amen. Amen. And then in Revelation chapter 14, these are just some reasons I want to go to heaven, okay? You go wherever you want to. These are reasons I want to go to heaven. Revelation chapter 14 verse 11 says this. It says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever. You got it? I'm going to wait on you. All right, 11 through 13. And ever, and they had no rest day nor night, who worshiped the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. By the way, we're talking about this on Monday nights. And here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that kept the commandments of God and faith. Oh, my goodness, I like that. And faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Heaven is a haven of rest. Heaven's a place to rest. The old black slaves they'd make up songs while they picked cotton or worked in the rice paddies. By the way, there's more rice and indigo grown in South Carolina than there was cotton. But they'd make up songs, you know, to sing about going to heaven. They couldn't read or write, most of them, and so they just had to imagine stuff. But one of them got hold to that word, and I forgot my verse, but somewhere there's a verse that says that we go to our long home, meaning we're going to be there a long time. And they made up one of those old songs, you know, that they would sing. He said, I'm going to a place where I can sit down. I'm going to a place where I can sit down. And somewhere in that old song, they talked about the long home. Thank God, heaven is a place of rest. Now, listen, I know you might be 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 and you feel full of vinegar and vim and you think everything's wonderful and somebody has knocked you out to make you sleep. I've been there. But I'll tell you this, it ain't going to stay that way. You're going to get older and you're going to get tireder, and the older you get, the tired. And don't let any of these old fogies lie to you and tell you they feel just like they did when they were 16. They're either lying to you or they're taking some powerful drugs. Amen?
Amen.
No, you get tired here in this old world. We're going to a place where we can rest.
Amen.
Thank God we can rest from our labors for the Lord, and we can rest from pain and suffering and sorrow and disappointment, and most of all, the thing that works us the hardest, we can rest from sin in the presence of sin itself. That's the hardest thing we work against right there. Now, heaven's my home, and look, we're strangers here. We're foreigners here. But 1 Peter said, well, obey the laws. Romans says, well, obey the laws. You go out and vote. You do whatever you got to do. Be a good citizen. Be loyal to your country. But Philippians chapter 1. And I'm doing pretty good on time. Philippians chapter 1. Y'all must be listening faster today. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ. Now, when was the last time you heard a Baptist say that? They singing it, I had it my way. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I won't not. I won't not. I don't know. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. That's what I'm here for. That's what you're here for, to help others to have faith and joy and grow in their faith. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now, I want to go home, but it's better for me. I mean, it's better for you if I stay.
Yes.
I want to go home, but it's better for my children if I stay.
Yes.
I want to go home, but it's better for my grandchildren if I stay. I want to go home, but it's better for my children and my grandchildren and my friends if I stay. And you know what? That's supposed to be your thought, too.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
My mama used to say it. My mama had some retarded children, and really, they couldn't work. And Judy was one of them. She never could work. She could clean, but couldn't really get a job. Couldn't read and write until she was about 50-something years old. And mama would live on, live on, live on. And she'd say, Ronnie, I don't know why the Lord's living for, let me stay here, except somebody needs to take care of Judy.
Yes.
Somebody needs to take care of Judy. If we'd quit being so stinking selfish and see why God really leaves us here,
yeah,
we could get more done for God and others.
Amen.
Amen. That boy that worked for you, you told me about that time. God got you here for that boy and others. Those you talk about, those family members that are so hard-headed, God's got you here for them.
Yes.
Those who are so hard-hearted, God's got us here for them. Everywhere I ever went and took a new job, and I had many of them while I've been, since I've been saved, because I tried to keep a job where I go to school at night and work during the day and serve on the weekends for the Lord, you know. And then when I finished school, I tried to keep a job where I could serve the church full time, whether they paid me or not. And I went through a lot of jobs. And if they made me work on Sunday, I just quit. There wasn't no discussion. I just quit. And you know what? There's a lot of hard times because of that.
Yes.
But every one of those places I'd go, I'd say, Lord, you put me here for a reason. There's some people that's lost here, and undoubtedly, I'm here to be a witness to those people. Show me the ones that need to be saved. And God would, I didn't have to hunt them out. God would send those people to me.
Thank you.
And everywhere that I ever worked, before I left there, somebody got saved that worked there with me.
Amen.
Now, you and the cows, that ain't going to work, Brother Holroyd. So you're going to have to love your neighbor, okay? But everything we do, everything we accomplish, everything we work through, every bit of it, is we're left here. Not just to have fun and build up riches and enjoy life. No, we're here for others.
Amen, yeah.
They don't know these things about heaven. They need somebody not just to be an example of Christ here on earth, but somebody that'll tell them about heaven. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, they've got to hear something. Well, they'll see how good I am and they'll get saved. No, they'll see how good you are and think you're a great guy, and they'll die and go to hell.
That's right.
We're strangers and foreigners, and God puts us here. Did you know heaven's a prepared place?
Yes.
Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Yes. You will not go to heaven unprepared.
Come on now. Yeah.
And the way you get prepared is by being born again. And then once you get born again, the reservation's in, and God prepares the place just for you. Jesus said, where your heart is, that there will be your treasure also. Did you know heaven is where my treasure is?
Yes, sir. Amen.
We like to think, listen to this, we like to think that leaving our loved ones a lot of money is a wonderful thing. Is that on? But I preach enough funerals, I'll go ahead and tell you, money's a curse to a family. If you live in to build up great wealth and great prosperity and a lot of stuff so you leave it to somebody, you're putting a curse on those people.
Yes.
I've seen them fight. Brother Allen, I've seen them fight, get in the casket with people and fight over a ring on mama's hand. Yeah. I've seen them go to the houses after mom and daddy was dead and go down there and fight over a chair or a table.
Yes.
God didn't leave us here to build up great wealth on this world. God left us here to build up great treasure in heaven.
Amen.
And a heart should be in heaven, not here.
Yes. Thank you,
Lord. Yes. Revelations 20. 21, and I'm through. Revelations 21. I love my children. I hope I get to leave them a little something. I got some life insurance. That'll bury me. Might leave old wore out car, old wore out truck. They might fight over who has to drag it off, you know. Revelation 21, 5, and I'll be through. Revelation 21, start with verse 5 through 7. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be, I want you to underline this, my son. And if you're a daughter, you can write daughter on there. We're not sexist. It's just a general name, you know. Heaven is where my father is.
Amen.
I don't know how much you remember about your father. And some of you got fathers. You'll thank God you got one.
Yes, sir.
My wife still got her father, and sometimes we get concerned about him. You know, he's in his 80s. But you'll thank God if you got an earthly father. And the Bible says you're supposed to honor your father and your mother. It didn't say if they were good father or good mother. It didn't say if they were half good or half bad. Are y'all listening?
Yes.
And by the way, you won't know the importance of that until they're gone.
Amen.
And you'll say, I wish I'd been better to my daddy. I wish I'd gave my daddy more respect. I wish I'd listened to my father more. He might have been lost and went to hell, but there were some good things he taught you. He taught you to go to work every day. He taught you to pay your bills, honor people, do what's right. Even lost people teach that. I don't know who my father is. But thank God, one day I'm going to meet my heavenly father. And I'm going to hear something I never heard. Your daddy probably said, come on in the house. Boy, you did a good job today. Come on over here and sit down and eat supper, daughter. You've been a good daughter today. But I'm going to get to hear my heavenly father say, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Your father's here. He's waiting on you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I hope you see your heaven, your earthly father in heaven. Mine might be there. I don't know. I might get two surprises. Amen. Amen. But I want to see my heavenly father. Amen. He's the one that's head of that house. Amen. And he never made a mistake. And he's never had a failure. And he's never fallen into sin or disappointed me or let me down or run off and left me. Thank God I got a heavenly father that's pure and perfect and high and lifted up. And he's nothing but good.
Amen.
That's heaven to me. Amen. That's him. Touch her, Lord. Bless her. Amen. That's where my heavenly father is. Amen. We all ought to be shouting.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. We used to have family reunions. We don't have. Do y'all still have family reunions? Anybody? Does anybody still have a family reunion? Y'all do. Devin. Everybody used to have those.
Yeah.
I remember once my mama's family had one time. But people used to have family reunions. You know why they don't do it anymore? They're too stinking selfish and self-centered to do it now. But people used to do that. And look, it was a joy to see Aunt Josephina and all that, you know, Lula Mae and, you know, Uncle Weird Bob, you know, Weird Bob. It was a joy to see those people. Amen. You see them every once in a while. But boy, when we get to heaven. What a family reunion. Amen. I got Brother Monroe's picture, black man, hanging in there in my office. Brother Monroe went visiting with me all the time. And Brother Monroe, if we see some black people, they start running their mouth off at me, he'd just jump on them and tell them what for, you know. He said, "This is a man of God. You don't know nothing about him. Shut up and listen." He told one boy, he said, "Pull your pants up and shut your mouth and listen." Thank God. Old Joe Hammaker, old cotton mill weave room fixer, man. Hey, had a fist that big around. Before he got saved, he was famous for knocking a man out in the weave room one time. Just cold cocked him right into a, and drank liquor and he got saved, got right with God and became a preacher. Thank God, old Joe Hammaker. He was always encouragement to me. When others walk out, I'd expect him to walk in and try to encourage me. Old Tommy Owens, cotton mill, lint head, blue lint, worked at the industrial mill, and I'd get discouraged. He'd talk to me and say, "Preacher, don't get discouraged. Don't you get discouraged. God's in control. I'm still here. There's people still love you, preacher. Don't you get, hey, family reunion. Oh my goodness. We're talking about the family of God now.
Amen.
Now, if you're not a part of that family, I've got some sad news. You're not invited.
That's right.
That's sad, ain't it?
Yeah.
I used to sell insurance down in Chester. There's a lot of black Roddies in Chester, a lot of black families that's named Roddy. And they had a family reunion one day. I started stopping there. You know, I'm from the other side of the family, you know. But I couldn't get the courage up. I bet they'd have just let me come on in and welcome me and love me anyway. Well, guess what? You're going to have to be part of this family to get in.
Amen.
You must be born again, he said. You must be. You see, our family was wrong. Our first family was wrong. We were born wrong. We're part of the family of Adam. And that's wrong. We need to become the part of the family of God and be born again.
Amen.
And guess what? I'm not preaching you into heaven. I can't.
That's right.
If I preach your funeral, they'll say, "Well, don't say nothing bad, preacher." I say, "Well, I just talk about Jesus because I can't preach somebody in heaven. If they wasn't going, there ain't nothing I can do. I can try to get the ones that show up." Sister Gargi says she's going to let me preach hers at the Methodist church. I'm going to get up there and say, "We're here. She's gone. She told me to preach. This is still the word of God. Jesus still saves. Amen.
Amen.
I'll preach the same message John Wesley did. Amen." And she said, "Well, they don't want you to give an invitation." I said, "What are they going to do? Not call you back?" They're going to say, "You can't have your funeral here no more." Hey, we want to get everybody in this family. Everybody's welcome in this family. Red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in his sight.
Amen.
We'll go out this week and invite some people to join the family. So they'll go to heaven with us. Now, I don't know anybody's heart in here. No, nobody's heart. I know my heart. And I know today I was born again. I know that. And I want to ask you today, do you know for sure that you've been born again? Because that's your birth certificate to get into heaven.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for that wonderful place called heaven. Undeserving as we are, unfaithful as we are sometimes, undependable as we are sometimes, you still reserve us a place in heaven. And Lord, as we travel this old world as pilgrims, help us remember we are temporary residents.
Yes, Lord.
We are not here to stay.
Amen.